say, get it, boy. And he knows exactly what that means. He knows what that means. But, man, we're here to celebrate Jesus. So if you're going to help him preach, would you clap your hands to the Lord? He's so good. Come on, Jason.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'll go ahead and read some scriptures so we can, like the pastor said, sit down. But thanks. Let's give the praise team a hand. Very thankful for the anointing that they carry. Amen. It's only by the blood of Jesus that they're anointed the way they are. Amen. Thankful for our praise team. I know the sacrifice that these guys make, and I'm thankful for them. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and pastor the nursery, 5 and under, that way. Who's got nursery? I think they're all gone. Okay, so we're on John 3, starting with verse number 11. And I want to say, too, to my family and my friends that came out tonight, thank you guys for coming. I got my prayers go beyond the grave. Amen. Amen. John 3:11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know, and we testify that we have seen and we receive not, and ye receive not our witness. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. If I have told you earthly things that ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I told you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended unto heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Come on. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And for this next scripture right here, the ones that have never heard this scripture before, I'm going to enlighten you. Because this is one of the most popular scriptures of all time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, through him, might be saved. Amen. Through the world, might be saved. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this place. God, I thank you for everyone that's in here gathered in your name, Jesus, in the name that is above every name, Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us on Calvary, God. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for your cross. I'm thankful for this word, Lord. I'm thankful, Jesus, Lord, to be your minister tonight, Lord. God, I'm asking you, Lord, for clarity of mind tonight, Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to just open my mouth, God, and fill me, Lord, with your word, Jesus. Move me out of your way, God, and you just take this service, God, and all things I never want to fail to give the matchless name of Jesus the praise. And when all the people said amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys a disclaimer while you're sitting here. I promise you I'm going to mess some scriptures up. I promise you that I'm going to say a word that don't even exist. I'm going to say something in this Bible. Sometimes I just get excited about Jesus, okay? I get excited about the one that brought me out of a death, out of a way of hell, and has set my foot upon a rock, hallelujah. I'm thankful for my Jesus because he saved my soul, hallelujah. So I can't help it when I get excited and I want to mumble my words together, just got to look over me. I can't help it. I'm a coal miner, and I didn't have no degrees. I don't want no degrees. I got all that I want to do right now, but I want to preach this word. So one thing is for certain. I love Jesus and he loves me, amen. And I have been called to preach this word with everything in me and I thank him for it, hallelujah. So as I was saying before, I'm thankful that my family came out here tonight. I got a little bit emotional because I can't help it. My Effie, one of our matriarchs of this church, she was a very blessed woman and had a lot of kids and they're here tonight, amen. Amen, hallelujah. In 2009, John 3:16 was Googled over 94 million times. because of one guy named Tim Tebow for you sports buffs. He wore John 3:16 on his face. And this scripture that we just quoted that most of us have heard, and if it's the first time that you've heard it, I beg you to read it again. Sometimes just understand what he did there. So I'm going to read it again with a little bit of clarity this time. For God so loved the world. God loves us more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever fathom how much God really loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give his second son, his third son. He gave his only begotten son. Amen. That whosoever it is, hallelujah, believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, as the saying goes, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But I'm here to tell you that there is life after death. There is life after death, and it's either one way or it is the other. And there is no in-betweens on that. Just like the pastor said, there are certain black and whites in this Bible that cannot be debated, and that is one of them. There is life after death, and one is heaven and the other is hell. So I'm here to tell you that God loves you with an unfathomable love. Amen. That he sent his only begotten son. But that's not the scripture that I want to focus on tonight. I'm going back to John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man shall be lifted up. And I want to give you guys a history lesson here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21, verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They're murmuring, they're complaining, right? They're just bickering. They're just people, right? There's no difference in them and us. We bicker, we complain. It's just in our nature. That's who we are. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. I'm glad I said that correctly. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. I know that there's one person in here for a certainty, and that is my cousin Sean that loves snakes. He's fascinated with them. It's all right. I hate snakes. I don't agree with him. I don't have the same love. I'm sorry, Sean. I don't have the same love for him. I hate snakes. A good snake to me is a dead snake, right? But the Lord sent fiery snakes. Fiery serpents among the people to bite the people. And much of the people of Israel, they died because of their complaining, because of them speaking against Moses and against God. He sent fiery serpents unto them, and they was dying. These people was dying from snake bites. Imagine that. Imagine your family member, somebody in your family bit by a snake, and they're dying, and you're begging and pleading for help of any kind. Let's go to the next verse. Therefore the people came to Moses and they said this, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord. Pray unto him that he takes away these serpents from us." Then Moses, he prayed for the people, as he always did. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Next verse. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Nicodemus was sitting in the presence of Jesus. Nicodemus was a very versed man. He was very learned in what he was doing. He was a leader of a religious sect. He was very much so versed in the Word of God. But Jesus, I'm sure, when he threw him this, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." I'm sure that it threw Nicodemus for a loop. I'm sure that he went, "Wait a minute, what are you talking about?" But we all know the whole story. But I just want to bring something to your, just for focus here's sake. This is a piece of brass. This is solid brass. It's very heavy. It don't look like, because I'm real strong. No, I'm just kidding. Feel this, John. Just tell them how heavy it is. It's pretty heavy. It's solid. This is 100% solid brass. Now, Moses, God tells Moses to take this brass and to beat it into a serpent. Make it into something that it's not. And I don't know about you, but that looks like a lot of work to me. To take this and turn it into something. This might not have been what he looked like, what it looked like. I'm just doing this for illustration. That'd be a lot of work to me. Thinking about beating this right here, I thought about this all week. I would like to take and try this just to see how hard it would really be to do this. Number one, I don't know where Moses got his brass from to begin with. If it was polished like this is, or if it was lumps of brass, if it was jagged brass, I don't know. But I do know one thing. It took work for Moses to make this brass, or to make this brass serpent, right? It took something, it took effort. It took him pushing beyond everything else to make this serpent so the people that was bitten by the serpent, they could look at a serpent. To me, that just don't seem right. It just don't seem like, in my mind, how in the world can I get bitten by a serpent and look at a serpent to be healed? But as history will tell us, this same serpent that is on a pole is on the back of every ambulance that you see. It is the symbol of medicine. It is a symbol of hope. It is a symbol of life. Because of Moses in the wilderness, the Greek mythologists, they try to take that over, that it was some Greek god and all kinds of blah, 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 but that's not true. It came from the Word of God. They could try to manipulate the Word of God all they want to, and it don't matter what they say. I know what the Word of God says, amen? And I know that when Moses lifted up this serpent in the wilderness, the people that looked at this serpent could be healed. So I got this from Ian a little while ago. This is also brass. So you think about how much work it would take to turn this into this. I don't know about you, but man, I know how tired my hands get just from wearing a hammer, just using a hammer for a little while. If you start beating on this brass, I promise you, you're going to hurt. It's going to hurt everything in you. But Moses had a desire to save his people. So he kept beating and he kept pounding on this brass. He kept pounding on it over and over and over. He kept working this brass through and through because he cared about his people. He cared about the people because they prayed and said, Moses, call upon your God to save us. And God answered him and said, this is how you save the people. You beat this into something that it's not. You beat this into something that it didn't start out like this. I mean, it started out like this, but it turns into something totally different. It turns into something that looks exactly what is biting the people. Go to Isaiah 53. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to preach this without getting emotional on you now, because I'm telling you. Because I know what God done right here. And I'm wanting to show something to you guys. I got a greater revelation on this than I've ever had of my Jesus. With studying this sermon, I understand him more now than I ever have. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and 1 says this, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness that we should see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and he is rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Amen. So let's go back to Nicodemus and Jesus. And I'm sure that Nicodemus is, wow, where in the world is Jesus going with this serpent that he said Moses shall be lifted up? Isaiah 53 had already been spoken. It was already prophesied that Jesus was going to be who he said that he was, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So I'm going to tell you something. When we look at Jesus on the cross, what do you see? Don't answer out loud. What do you see when you look at Jesus, who was nailed to a cross, who was beaten beyond recognition, who was just spit on and ridiculed and shamed and bruised and broken and just blood running everywhere? Who do you see? What do you see? I don't see Jesus the way that he was when he was walking upright as a man among us. I don't see him as that. I see him as something that was beaten, something that God took pleasure. The Bible says that he took pleasure to bruise him. Whenever we start beating on this brass and we start taking a lick at it every single time, the maker of this ornament or whatever it is, I've got a vision in my mind of what I want to turn this into. And I'm going to hit it until I'm satisfied. I'm going to hit it until I know that that's what I need. I'm going to beat on this thing until I know that that's what it wanted to look like. I'm going to be the artist, and this is going to be per se my clay, but it's not clay. This is something made of brass. This flesh that Jesus carried, it had to be beaten. It had to be broken. It had to be molded. It had to be bruised, and it had to be just marred for us. For us, amen. For us, he said, because he that knew no sin became sin. I want to put this in perspective. He did not become a liar. He became a lie. He did not become an adulterer. He became adultery. He did not become a homosexual. He became homosexuality. He did not become a murderer. He became murder. So I'm here to tell you, he became all sin. Hallelujah. So this gospel that we preach to everybody cannot be excluded from anybody. This gospel that we tell somebody about cannot be excluded from nobody. There's not a sin that's not covered under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He became something that he was not so that we could be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the serpent was something that was biting the people, but yet he formed a serpent so that they that looked at him would be saved. They would look at the serpent and be saved. So now us that are sinners, we can look to Christ and say, this is sin. This is what I need to look at. Hallelujah, to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ hath redeemed us. That's shouting ground too, amen. Christ has redeemed me. Hallelujah. The Bible also tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Jesus was made a curse for us. This is how much God really hates sin. He really despises sin. He really, really despises it, because when Jesus became sin, look what he done to him. Look how bad he was beaten and how bad he was just marred for sin. Not because he committed a sin, because he became the sin. He was beaten and he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. He's worthy for praise for that alone. I've said this before, and I mean it with everything in me. If Jesus does nothing else for me, he's already done enough. He's already done enough, because I know where I once was, amen. I know what God brought me from, hallelujah. I know the life that I was living in front of my children before, but I know what kind of God, man of God, God's made me now, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For the Bible says this also, for it is written that cursed is a man, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became a curse. He became sin. He became everything that God despised. He became that on the cross for you and for me. You know, the elder preached a sermon Wednesday night, and he told me to pass this on to everyone. He couldn't be here tonight because he's preaching somewhere else tonight. But he preached an awesome, awesome sermon to us. And one thing that he said that stuck out to me was is that God required blood. He required blood for sacrifice. He requires blood. Because the Bible also says that without blood, there is no remission. There is no remission of sins. And I'm here to tell you this is another one that is not up for debate if you do not have the blood of Jesus applied to your life. There is no other way to heaven. There is nothing else that you can do to save yourself. Only through the blood of Jesus can you be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So whenever he was bruised and he was broken and the blood was poured and the blood was shed, he became something that we did not see. He became something that we did not feel. He became something totally different. The history will tell us that he was beaten so bad that he was unrecognizable. They beat him with a cat of nine tails till his entrails came out. This is history will tell you that he was beaten. He should have died on the whipping post. He should have died there. Any normal man would have died there. But the Bible says something that had to be fulfilled. It said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And he also said this. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Hallelujah. I will draw all men. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Because this is why I'm so thankful for this. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus because I know what it done for me. I know what it done for Jason O'Neill. I know what it done. Hallelujah. I know where it brought me from. The life that I was living, the places that I was going, the route that I was taking, the way I was living my life in front of my beautiful daughters. Only God can save you. Amen. Only God. You can't find satisfaction anywhere else the way that I've got it now. You can't find peace the way that I've got it right now. There ain't a bottle in the world that's going to take away the pain that Jesus could take away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 5:6 says this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, he did. He died for the ungodly. He died for all of us, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Think about that for just a second. Put yourself in that position. There is no doubt, there is zero doubt in my mind that if something happened and it was between me and my children or my wife, I would definitely step in front. There's no doubt. But it would be so hard for me to give up my family or my life for somebody that I don't know. Somebody that I know that's on, say, death row for something that just done unspeakable things. It would be hard for me to sit and say, yeah, I'll take his place. It's nothing for me to take the place of the ones that I love the most. It's nothing for me to take that place. But it'd be hard for me to take place of something that I'm not saying that I despise, but it would be hard for me to say that I would take a place of somebody that hurt a child. It would be hard for me to take that, but that's not what Jesus did. Verse number 8 says this, but God commandeth his love towards us. In that, yet while we were yet sinners, hallelujah, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, amen. Much more than being justified now by his blood, amen, justified by his blood, hallelujah, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm saved from the wrath of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You all, if you're saved through Jesus Christ, you are saved from the wrath of God. Hallelujah. You will not see the wrath that Jesus suffered for us. You will not see that wrath. Hallelujah. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have received the atonement. We had somebody to take our place. I don't deserve the love that Jesus gave for me. I don't deserve it, but he done it anyway. Hallelujah. Just like I said earlier, there's not a sin that God did not step up for. You ain't got nothing that the blood can't cover. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That means that we can go to the prison and preach the same message that I'm preaching right now in this church house. Hallelujah. You can go anywhere in the world and preach this same gospel, and it's the same Jesus that could save their soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That to me is just mind-blowing to me, that he became sin that knew no sin. The man that walked upright without blemish, without spot, without any kind of wrinkle or any mar. He became sin that you and I could be the righteousness of God through him. That is awesome to me. Hallelujah. He's worthy for praise in that, aspect alone. He's worthy of praise. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's nothing else to look at, church. There's nothing else. There is nowhere else that you can find this kind of joy. There is nowhere else that you can find this kind of peace. There is nowhere else that you can find this kind of love. Hallelujah. You know, I could tell you till I'm blue in the face, but until you see the picture or put yourself in the perspective of anyone that has a child, of thinking of sacrificing your only child for somebody that you have no idea who they even are. You don't even, you could barely, might even love them a little bit. And you could despise them even. Think about sacrificing your only son for that. When the Bible says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to smack him. It pleased the Lord to spit on him. It pleased the Lord to put a crown of thorns on him. It pleased the Lord whenever they beat him and they bruised him. And he carried the cross to Calvary to be sacrificed, to be hung on a tree, to be cursed among men. Think about what Jesus done for you. Think about the love that Jesus really has for you. You know, I can sit and tell a sinner all day long what they cannot do. You could just rehearse these things and try to tell them. And I love how our pastor says, but they have no power to overcome the sin. You could try to be a sober Christian, as he said one day. He said somebody was quitting drinking. He was like, great, that's awesome. Now you could just be a sober sinner. Yes, thank you. I said that totally wrong. I meant a sober sinner, not a sober Christian. You better be sober if you're a Christian. But he that knew no sin became sin for you and for me. It took pleasure in God to smack him, to beat him, to twist him, to turn him, to shame him in front of everybody. He took pleasure in that. I could not imagine the grief that would be going through my mind if it was a child of my own. Could not imagine. So I'm going to read this, what a writer said. I'm not sure the author of this, but it was really awesome. The serpent of brass is another one of God's magnificently crafted historical parables, which gives us greater insight to who God is and how he wrought salvation through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Just as anyone was bitten by a fiery serpent, which was a tool of God's judgment like the cursed devil in Moses' day, could be healed by simply looking unto the brass serpent that Moses lifted up, so also can anyone look to Jesus Christ who was lifted up. On the cross is only the atonement for sin and being made a curse for us. To be spiritually healed and eternally saved. And in order to avoid the fiery judgment of hell, the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure the pain and the suffering on behalf of everyone that believes on him and looks at him alone. Think about what he done for us. He made a barrier between us and God. When God seen the cross, he seen sin, he seen shame, he seen all the things that Jesus became that he despised. He seen that. And when we look up at the cross, we see a Savior, we see a redemptive Lord, we see all these things, but God sees the sin. But now that the cross is over, when Jesus said, it is finished, it wasn't by the blood of bulls and goats, but it was by his own blood.
It was by the blood of Jesus that he went into, and he applied it to the mercy seat. So now, when God looks at you and me, he sees the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What can make me whole again? Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The Bible tells this, and this is my last scripture. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gift of life is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a Savior we serve. What an awesome God we serve. What a love. What a love. Yet no greater love than this in a man to lay his life down. Hallelujah. No greater love than this. So think about the brass for just another moment of what it took to turn this brass into a fiery serpent, something to be beaten. It took a lot of work. Jesus turning himself from a walking upright human man to what he turned into, the burden that was there. And I have, and you know, there's no real record or nothing this, but I thought about this before, that the earthquake that happened at the cross, the world had never seen so much evil and so much pain and so much suffering and so much torment and so much in one spot at one time, that earth had no choice but to quake. Think about the weight that was really upon his shoulders. The weight of the whole world was upon his shoulders at one place, at one moment in time. Because if we really overlook that, we'll miss it, that he that knew no sin became sin. That is all sin. Every single sin that you could think of, you could think of the worst thing that you could ever possibly think of in your mind, and know that your Christ, he became that. He became that, because now that same sin, that same person, that same whatever they've went through can be preached the same gospel and be saved the same as we can. And as the musicians come, we'll say this last thing. Leaving it at this, John 3:14, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know, when that happened, when Jesus was sitting there talking to Nicodemus, I'm sure that Nicodemus was flabbergasted. Is that a good word? How do you even get here? How can I sit down with the greatest teacher to ever walk on this earth and him tell me, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be? How can I sit here and look at him and say, okay, I would have questions. I would have wonders about it. And Jesus' reply, I'm sure, would be this. I have to become the same thing so the people that are getting bitten by the same thing can be saved by the same thing. It's just like this. If you look up double jeopardy, if you look up a sin or a crime that has been committed and you've already been charged for it, you cannot be charged for the same crime twice. So whenever the devil steps up to you to condemn you, to tell you that you're not a child of God, you can look at him and say, this was on Calvary. Get behind me, Satan. When the devil looks at you and tells you you're not a child of God, you can look at him and say, listen, devil, I am a child of God because I'm redeemed because he said so. Hallelujah. So whenever the devil tells you that you're something that you're not, you have got fighting ground to stand on and say, my Jesus already carried that for me. My Jesus already became that for me. I don't have to carry that anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's been years ago. It's been some time. And I'm not gonna you guys that are normally here, y'all know me. At one time in my life I was a heathen, I really was. I've done some crazy stuff, and I was a crazy person to be around. A lot of people love to be around me when I go to a ball game or something because I was nuts. And one in particular, we went on this ball game this one time, and a family of friends. It was 5 or 6 years later that I had been saved and been a different man, that we was in the church. And God got a hold of me, and I got up and I gave my testimony with fire because that's what God put in me. And a girl, the wife of the man that we used to hang out with, come up to me and said, "Who do you think you are?" She said that to me, "Who do you think you are?" And I said, "I'm going to tell you exactly who I am. I know who I once was, but I know who I am now." Hallelujah. I know what God done for me. I know how God can set you free. I know that whenever you say the scripture, "He who the Son has set free is free indeed." Hallelujah. I know that God can save you from whatever it is. Whatever is ailing you, whatever is hurting you, whatever is holding you back. You have got a place of security. You have got a place of serenity, a place that you can run to. The Bible tells us this, and then I'm going to be quiet, that we have a strong, that God is a strong and mighty tower, that the righteous can run into it for safety. We can find safety and peace only in Jesus. There's a song that we sung here before that I've searched the world and it couldn't fill me. And I promise you, you can't be filled the way that God fills you. You can't be filled with what this world has to offer and have the peace at night. And to lay your head down and know that if I go into the next life, that my fate is secured only because of Jesus. Hallelujah. I do know this, that if you are lost, and you have no recognition of Jesus Christ in your life, He's calling out to you. He is calling your name. He is wanting you to be part of His fold. We can be adopted. You know, whenever you go to an adoption, the parent pretty much chooses the child. This way, you're adopted either way. You was already chosen. You're chosen from the very beginning. You're chosen from right from go. He said, "I knew you while you was in your mother's womb." You are chosen. You are already one of His. You just got to come to Him. You just got to give your life to Him and let His blood wash over you. That way you can lay down at peace at night and know that your fate is secure only in Him. Hallelujah. I know if I took my last breath, I know where I'm going to be. Hallelujah. I know where I'm going to be. I used to serve the Lord to miss hell, but I serve the Lord now because I love Him. I love Him. Hallelujah. I don't serve Him because I don't want my flesh to hurt. I serve Him because I know how much that He hurt for me. I know how much that He loves me. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. I get a picture of a little bit of how much He really loves me because my mind can't contain the love of God. Your mind cannot contain all that God really done for you. You don't understand. We'll never understand. We have a little bit of an inkling of what His love really is for us. And for Him to die on a cross, being sin and shame the way that He was for freedom to the ones that He loved, that is the definition of John 3:16 to me. That is what really is awesome about John 3:16, and I opened with Tim Tebow having it on his face. Now I promise this is the last time I'm done. When we seen a sports star, when we seen a man put himself on a TV show and to put on a parade and all this stuff, have John 3:16 on his face, and how much He reached the world that day with 94 million people Googling it. That is only a tip of the iceberg of what the church can do. When we really get buckled down and we really get into His Word and understand what kind of power that we really possess inside of us. So I'm here to tell you that if you are saved, you are called to do a duty, to tell somebody about Jesus. This is something that's not meant for you and you're four and let it pour and shut the door. It's not meant for that. This is meant for the world. For God so loved the world. Hallelujah. He loved the world this morning.